The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
Welcome back to The Empowered Homeowner, where we talk DIY, homeownership, female empowerment. I am Beth Allen, your host, DIY expert, educator, and contractor. So raising a child with special needs requires parents to be fierce advocates, guiding the way for their children and modifying the home and the school environment so that they have every opportunity to succeed. And my next guest did that by creating a sensory playroom in her home for her son, Trey. And she so aptly shared on Facebook, every child, neurodivergent or neurotypical, deserves a space that speaks to their soul. And I read that and I thought, I have to have Burnell on the show to talk about her experience because it is just so real. And she is both a social worker, she is mom to a special needs child, and she is a DIY girl, and I love that. So, Burnell, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
I was like, we have to talk about this room and what you have done for your son, because it is just so important to be able to let our kids thrive. So what inspired you to just tackle this space for Trey?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I guess I have to talk about just DIY in general. So I don't know if you know that I'm originally from Richmond, Virginia.
Okay.
The youngest of eight.
Oh, wow.
Children.
Wow.
I'm the youngest of eight children. So my dad, just growing up, there was nothing he could not do. I mean, he was on the roof. He did everything. He never called a contractor. So I grew up watching my dad do everything.
Love that inspiration. So, just love it.
So it's definitely in my DNA. Okay, so when Trey was first diagnosed with autism, it was right before the pandemic, okay?
And rough time all around.
Absolutely. So we're stuck at home, and it was always in our vision to have a sensory room for him. We outgrew our home, so we had to move. So it was always in the vision. And during the pandemic, the world was shut down.
Yeah. You could DIY.
Yes.
Just curbside pickup.
Absolutely. So he had virtual therapy, and, you know, he's just been so fortunate to work with these amazing therapists. And they would give him what's called a sensory diet. So if you imagine a regular diet, it gives you a list of foods you can eat. Well, in this way, it gave him a list of activities that he could feed on that would then
stimulate
and
calm.
Absolutely. So it started off with us buying a playground.
Okay.
And my husband and I, we put all 50,000 pieces together. It was terrible.
And you're still married?
Yes. And that's how DIY began in general for me, because of a project my husband and I were working on. But, you know, we'll talk about that later.
Oh, we've been there. My husband and I have done so many rooms together. Yeah.
Yes. So we bought this playground, put all these pieces together, and from there we learned how much the swing calmed Trey. He
wow.
would swing for hours. He would fall asleep
wow.
on the swing. So it was from there that we realized, wow, okay, you know what? This is actually something. So from that sensory diet, swinging was one of the activities
okay.
on there. So then we began to buy just bits and pieces. So a mini trampoline
okay.
was the next thing, 30 bucks.
How old was he at this point?
Oh, my goodness. So if the pandemic was 5 years ago, four. So he was four. He was
okay.
just diagnosed
okay.
at four. So we bought a mini trampoline. We had this playground. And with the sensory diet, we then began to do these activities. And it was there that the shift began.
Mm.
And we realized therapy starts at home.
Yeah, it does. Everything starts at home.
Absolutely.
Now. You know that.
Yes. And we are his first therapists.
Yeah.
Like, what if the world never opens back up
yeah.
and he can't go back to the center? So he needs therapy at home. Anything that he needs that would calm his mm-hmm. sensory processing system, has to be readily accessible. So this is where the vision started. So again, we started buying bits and pieces here and there. And of course, we have three other children.
Yeah.
So the sensory room in itself, you know, took a back seat. You know, we now have a senior in high school. So yeah.
What room in your house did you use? Is that who gave up a room?
So nobody, thankfully. So when we moved, we had to have a finished basement.
Okay.
Because we knew we wanted to have a space for him. So, you know, fortunately, the basement is large enough where we could take a big section of the basement just to create that, you know, that designated
awesome.
Area for him.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like I said, the sensory room in itself took a back seat. Now, fast forward a few years later, finally, we started putting the pieces together. So we started talking together as a family to say, hey, like, what would you like to see in the sensory room? So we have an 11-year-old. She's always wanted a foam pit. And my 15-year-old, I should also mention.
Well, who doesn't want a foam pit? My goodness.
So we started with the foam pit. That was like the focal point of of the room. And then we went from there. We then started just to educate ourselves about the sensory processing system, which is absolutely fascinating. And I will say, you know, having an MSW and in college in the late 90s, early 2000s, I don't think I learned much about the sensory processing system.
Even as a nurse, I know we didn't get much education, you know, on special needs and the brain and its function. You know, whether it's dealing with, you know, kids who have, you know, autism or even adults with dementia. It's still, you know, alterations in the brain function and how do we navigate around, stimulate, keep them calm, nurture.
Yeah, that's absolutely, that's it. And once we started to educate ourselves more about the sensory processing system and then talking with this therapist, we needed their input. Hey, what equipment is Trey using this week? Like, what do you think he's enjoying the most? Like, what do you see him getting the most benefit out of? And we took those suggestions just with the vision that I have, because I do have dreams where I dream of my projects, and then I wake up and then I research them. So then we were able to put this entire sketch together. And from there, it's just bits and pieces at a time. And the next thing you knew, I mean, we looked around and I had a sensory room. It
That's
was
awesome.
A whole sensory room where.
So yeah. How did you source some of the materials? Where did you find
goodness.
Some of these things?
So the big box stores, of course. And where does everyone order?
yep. We're hitting Depot, Lowe's, Amazon.
Yes, Amazon, definitely. So
where did you get the foam, though, for the foam pit?
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so that's an entire story. So a foam pit, I'll just tell you, a foam pit in general, I had to research them. You could get a, let's see, maybe like a 5x5 foam pit. It's probably $2,000 just for the foam pit, not the foam blocks.
Okay.
That's separate. I built the foam pit out of plywood. One sheet of plywood.
You go, girl.
$80 maybe.
Yep.
That's with tax.
Yep.
Okay. The foam blocks I found on Amazon. That was the bulk of my budget.
Wow.
The foam blocks. I probably spent about $700.
Wow.
On the foam blocks.
Do you know a total that you spent? Have you figured that out?
I was trying to add everything up. I'm telling you, I spent no more than $1,400.
That is fantastic. That is so freaking awesome that you were able to do that.
Yeah, yeah. It really is. Just when I think about like how much a foam pit costs. I mean, I've researched all of these different, these items, swings, all of these therapeutic devices that, you know, our therapists use. They are very pricey.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's really hard for, you know, a family that is strapped to kind of create these things, even to buy these things.
Right.
So the fact that you were able to do this on such a low budget is really just fantastic.
Yeah.
And it gives hope. That's why I wanted to have you here, to give hope to other families that you can do these things with the DIY mindset. You don't have to just spend a fortune on this that you don't have.
Absolutely. And you know what? I mean, even to some, maybe $1,400,
that's a lot.
That may be a lot for some people, but
better than $5,000.
Right. It doesn't have to be big. It doesn't have to be a lot. You can start off small. I mean, just small things, a mini trampoline, just learning your child, knowing what they like what things work, what will make them calm down.
Yeah.
You know, that will bring peace into the house.
did you bring a swing inside or just outside?
We have two swings inside. Actually, we have about four swings in the house. The first swing we put in his bedroom, but in the sensory room, we do have two swings. They were no more than $50 each.
Wow. And it's just a matter of having some basic DIY skills.
Absolutely.
And, you know, finding the joists, making sure you have the proper anchors, and you can create that space. And what do you, did something go wrong there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Not with the swings, but I have to tell you, the most challenging part of the sensory room. So we have climbing bars, okay? So I have these big ideas. I'm like, oh, you know what? Climbing bars would be so cool for him to climb, and then he could just drop in the foam pit. Well, it sounded good. And then it came time to do it.
And finding the studs.
And finding the studs.
Finding those studs.
And there were no studs right there in that area.
And well, it's a basement. So did you have concrete behind there?
Yes.
And then you probably just had...
Oh, my goodness.
You probably just had some lath that was your separator and foam insulation.
You know all about it.
Oh, yeah.
You know all about it. So I had a time. It took me about 2 weeks, and I really questioned my sanity.
Did you get a hammer drill?
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. You need a hammer drill to get through the concrete in the basement.
That is a tool that every DIYer just should... invest in.
If I don't own one, but I have a friend that does. So I borrowed it when I've needed it.
But then you have one.
Yeah. That's a serious tool.
That is a serious tool.
That is a serious Advil required tool because your shoulders and arms ache like nothing after that.
Exactly. That's why I questioned my sanity. I mean, it was having to go see a chiropractor. But it's, you're using, you have to take care of yourself too because you're using all of these muscles. Yeah. I mean, it's easy to get fatigued. So you're right. That is an Advil tool.
Absolutely.
But hammer drill, you definitely need that when working in a basement. But that is how I was able to secure the climbing bars.
Wow. And,
I just laughed because, like I said, it took me 2 weeks. And I don't know if you know, every project, I'm about halfway through, and then I just kind of question myself. I'm like, why?
Why am I doing that?
Why?
Oh, yeah. I've done that.
Right.
I've totally done that. I also do it on my runs. I get about a half mile in, and I'm like, why am I doing that? I could be doing something else right now. You know, why am I doing this? But, definitely when you are tackling a project of that magnitude and you have a vision and you meet these challenges, it's hard. It's hard to push past them. What got you through those moments?
It was going back to the why.
Yeah.
Why am I doing this? I'm doing this for my son. I am giving him everything that he needs at home because that's where it starts. I mean, it starts for all of us, for all of our children. And I was not only thinking about Trey, but I was thinking about the entire family. Because when Trey is regulated, we are all regulated. You know, he sets that temperature in our house. Yeah. So, I had to keep going back to my why. And I had to remember, too, that I was handpicked to be his mother.
Yeah.
So if you're listening out there, you are handpicked to be your child's mom or dad. And with being handpicked, it means that you have everything you need. Yeah. Even if you don't have the DIY skills, you have resources.
Yeah.
You know, you can go out and watch YouTube videos or Pinterest. That's where I got a lot of my ideas from. You know, there's Pinterest, there's asking people, there's learning.
Yes. And it's not just, watching YouTube videos for the construction piece. It's also for the therapy piece, for what do autistic children thrive with.
Absolutely.
So it's looking at all of the aspects of this project and pulling it all together as to how am I going to create this space for my son. Were your other kids involved in the construction? Was this a family project, or were you like, you guys stay out of my space, I'm doing it?
So I do, and I guess I get that from my father. I do like to work alone. But they would come down, especially my 11-year-old. She is my biggest cheerleader. She would come down and she would test everything. You know, she did help me. She helped me because the foam blocks, when they arrive, they're in one of those, you know, like those suction.
So you have to cut and then they pop open.
And then watching them, yeah,
blow up.
So satisfying, right? Just watching them. So she helped me cut them all open and then we threw them all in. And that took a while. I mean, talking 800 bone blocks, maybe.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, yeah. But she did. She helped a lot. Of course, my husband helped because I had to hang all of those swings. So, you know, I needed muscle. Oh.
Absolutely.
For
and
those.
I say this all the time about DIY and women. There is nothing that we can't do except we lack some of the upper body strength.
That's
just
right.
Biologically, we don't have the same muscular structure. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we need to lean on our men for some help.
Yeah, but, yeah. Big help there.
Yeah. Well, Brunel, I want to take just a brief break and I want to hear from our sponsors. And, you know, as much as I talk about, you know, loving your house and creating new things, so do these two companies that I'm fond of. When the seniors in your life are facing a new chapter, the journey can be overwhelming. At Senior Transition Services, they understand that relocating isn't just about moving things. It's about honoring a lifetime of memories while preparing for a new lifestyle. While serving Bucks and Montgomery counties, the Main Line, and Northeast Philadelphia, they provide expert move preparation and downsizing assistance with a focus on empathy and compassion. They guide you and your loved ones every step of the way, identifying which items could be moved, ensuring that treasured belongings find new homes, and cherished memories are preserved. Embrace this new phase of life with confidence and peace of mind. Senior Transition Services, where your past is honored and your future is embraced. Call today at 215-947-5490. Dreaming of transforming your space into something new and fresh? With LBK Design Build, you work with a family-owned business with over 10 years of experience servicing the Bucks and Montgomery County areas. They are dedicated to making every client feel like you are the only client. With one expert team, your space is crafted with care and tailored to your style and budget. Relax and enjoy your custom-designed space, knowing your home will be treated like it is their own. Call them at 215-675-5000 for your free estimate. With LBK, dream it, build it, love it. So, Brunel, I asked you about your other children helping you. Did Trey take any active involvement in this?
He's so funny. He's really a funny guy. But he would just come down. He's very observant. And he loves to just check out the scene first. And he follows behind his 11-year-old sister a lot. So
he's a little shadow?
Yes, yes. That's his best friend. So he watches her. So he would watch her come down, and she would jump in the foam pit. And then slowly but surely, the next thing we know, Trey's in the foam pit.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So he needed that someone to kind of break that first jump and,
absolutely.
And be like, okay, this is a safe zone. I can
yes.
do that.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And then, you know, during this time too, I would say over the past year or so, we realized that Trey is an artist. He has a photographic memory. It's just,
wow.
Oh my goodness.
The autistic brain is fascinating.
So fascinating. So I had to be sure that I incorporated an art table.
Okay. I was going to ask you, what were the zones?
Yeah. So I'll talk about the art table. Now this is, this is probably one of my favorite pieces in the whole sensory room because I took an average piece of IKEA furniture.
Okay.
Okay, I think it's called the IKEA Trofast or something like that. So it has like the pull-out drawers. I bought a piece of wood from Home Depot, and I added it to the top of this the Trofast. But I extended it past where the Trofast ends, And it was like an extended art table, and I added legs. Okay. And then I attached like a DIY, like almost like a paper towel, like holder.
Okay.
And then we put a spool of paper so that he
so
can
roll the paper.
Exactly.
Oh, that's awesome.
So it's like a never ending canvas. That is his favorite piece in the entire. Wow.
What's his favorite medium? Crayons, markers, what does he use?
Crayons. You know, he has pulled out some play scissors every now and then, but you should see him, he's like cutting the letters. He also cuts his shirt, you know. But that's all right.
They're kid scissors.
Yeah, kid scissors, but he uses crayons. And I mean, the things that he draws, they are, whatever video he's watching, he is able to remember and, I mean, just... It's almost
transfer it out of his
way. Yeah,
that's
just transfer. Yeah, it's incredible to watch.
Yeah, do you frame them?
Some of them. But do you know what he does? It's like he's like, I'm not gonna let them see me doing all of this work. He'll like just scribble all over it.
Yeah.
But where he goes to therapy, they save a lot of his artwork. So I do, I have them. So I'm keeping them all. So, he's like a famous artist one day.
Well, I've seen on Pinterest or Instagram, parents that will take the shadow box approach and then just swap out the artwork, just open the little door. And so
excellent,
that's a great
idea.
Way to multi-purpose it.
Yes.
I've also seen parents that have taken photos of their kids' artwork and created big collage out of it.
Yeah.
And even someone that transferred the artwork into images and made fabric made a quilt.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah. So there's always people coming up with cool things.
Thanks for
to
these
do.
Ideas.
You
yeah.
know, hey, hey, Trey could be, in MoMA one day, Go for it, right?
Anything's possible, right?
Is there one space that you look at and you go, I probably didn't need that. It's not as a hot ticket item.
Mm.
Is there one space he doesn't bother with much?
Yeah. So I thought, and this is probably something, there are things that he would use at the center where he goes for therapy that he will not use at home.
Okay.
So there's like a hexagon LED like touch like light display. And it's fascinating. You just touch it and the lights change and it can do all of these different colors. He does not play with that.
Interesting.
It's cool to look at though.
It's like Simon when we were kids and you had to, push the Simon.
Yeah. But my daughter loves it and she brings her friends over and they like to play with it. But Trey has nothing.
That didn't connect for him.
No, that did not connect at all. I also built a sensory table. So it has two buckets and we keep rice, in them, which is great for OT.
Mm-hmm.
And we hide like little figurines in the rice. He doesn't particularly play with that either. I know he does play with that, at the center, but not at home. So
right.
I think he has boundaries,
Right. This is at my center and
right.
this is at home. And,
right.
But that's interesting. But as a parent, you put in so much effort and thought as to what makes him tick,
right.
what engages him, mm-hmm. what excites him. And it's just, I when I saw that, I thought, wow, this is motherhood, exponential here. Love you. You've done a great thing for
Thank
your son.
Thank you so much.
You really have.
I appreciate that so much.
We talked about the budget, which is phenomenal. What was your time span? When you looked at that basement and you went, okay, we're going to make this space, did you have to do much to finish the space itself or was it pretty finished? And then you did the sensory part.
Yeah, it was already finished. So that gave me a huge advantage.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Huge.
So walls were done, carpeting,
all
that.
Done. Okay. All done. So I think everything, now I'll tell you this. So I built the rock climbing wall probably a couple of years ago.
Okay.
So I built that anybody can do it. If you can use a drill, you can build a rock climbing wall. So that was easy. I had already done that. And we already had the mini trampoline. But the other items, just to pull the space together, probably took about 3 months.
That's awesome. Three months and...
Just 3 months.
What, under $1,500?
$1,500.
That's pretty remarkable to be able to do that. Is there any advice you have for other parents that might be considering doing this in their home?
Just do it. Do it yourself. You know, like I said, you were handpicked for your child. That means you have everything you need, okay? And that means that you have the ability to create these things. And even if you don't have the knowledge, you go out there and you learn, but just go for it. And if you mess up, who cares? That's when you can call somebody.
Well, I say that all the time. I mean, you know, my first career was as a nurse. If I screwed up, yeah, somebody could have been really damaged. Okay, yeah, okay? That was a different thing.
That's different.
Now I'm like, you know, you go buy some more drywall.
Yeah.
You patch something.
Exactly.
It's not the, as long as we're not talking about load bearing walls, right. Major electric and plumbing.
Yeah.
Try.
You know? Try. Just try. I mean, guess what? What if you're good at it?
Yeah.
You'll never know if you just don't go for it. So I say get out there and build your child the sensory space that they need. It's so crucial just for their overall development, for any child, but specifically for children with disabilities, and that sensory processing system is just crucial to their development. So yeah. I say just go for it.
And you don't have to do an entire room either.
Right.
You could take a piece. You know, if there's one thing at their, you know, program or at their school mm-hmm. that they respond to, you could create just that.
Yeah, it can be a corner.
Right.
You have a sensory corner, yeah. A calming corner.
Yeah, just yeah. To give them that space.
Yeah.
Any specialty places that you found any of the gear aside from, you know, the major ones?
Honestly, these items are so accessible. They are readily available. Home Depot, Amazon.
They were your friends.
Yeah. Home Depot, they saw me a lot.
Yes. The folks at my store, they know me by name.
They know me.
I'm like, that's bad. Beth's back again. You know. Looking back, is there something you would have done differently? If not done it sooner, but.
Yes, I would have done it sooner. I really can't think of anything I would have done differently. We're so happy. It's, I mean, the entire family, everyone plays with it. Everyone is down there.
So they're all engaging together in that space.
All, yeah. You can find the teenagers in the foam pit some days.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? It's a family space that helps your son, and that's a terrific thing.
It was worth it.
Last question. If you could be a tool, what would it be and why?
Oh, wow. Maybe a table saw.
Yeah.
That's the most powerful tool
it's
there
got
is.
Got power. And you know what? You are a mom with power.
Oh, right. Thank you. You know,
just love it.
Thank you.
And again, folks, remember that doing it yourself doesn't mean doing it alone. And we'll see you next week.